You know, as we get ready for Easter, we're in a series where I want to look at some different, you know, shots of Jesus last week as we prepare for Easter. Because a lot of times we get caught up in the bunny and the chocolate and the eggs and all, and that crazy side of Easter, that commercial side. But as we approach Easter, oftentimes, you know, we celebrate the resurrection. But to get to the resurrection, we think about the crown of thorns that was pressed on his over his head. We think of the nails that pierced his hands and his feet. We think of the spear that pierced his side. We think of these horrific pictures of Christ being scourged, and we get to that point. But before that point, Jesus has this intimate time with his closest followers. And that's what I want to kind of focus in today. There are two pictures. There's a picture of a table. And we celebrated that last week with communion, where Jesus invites his closest disciples to come and sit with him and to share a meal with him. Then the second picture is there is a basin of water and a towel. And so today I kind of want to focus on the table and the towel, because we have to have the table and the towel to be complete in Christ. We can't have the table and not the towel, and you can't have the towel and not the table. And I'll explain all of that. If you could just see inside, if you could read my mind, love, you'd probably go, what is going on in there? Anyway, Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm going to read a lengthy passage. We're all familiar with it. This is in John chapter 13. I'm going to start in verse 1. I'm going to go through verse 17. It says this: Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That's a whole sermon right there, and I can't wait to preach that one, but not today. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. And Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no share with me. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, The one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you, for he knew who was to betray him. And that was why he said, Not all of you are clean. Now when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I, then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I think we see two pictures here, and I want to kind of focus on these pictures and help us dive a little bit deeper into what Jesus is doing here. The first picture is a picture of the table. And the table is simply the idea of love drawing near, Christ being with us. It says in verse 1, it says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. In other words, he loved them with everything that was in him. And the setting, we know, is the Passover meal. He gathers them together at this time. And the Passover meal is not just a dinner. It is a celebration of covenant. It is a remembrance. This is something that was so important that they came from all over to do this. And as they met in this upper room, Jesus gathered these disciples with him because they were family. And Jesus knew, it says this, a couple of things. It says, knew that his hour had come. He knew that there was betrayal in the room. He knew that the cross was just hours away, that he was going to depart the world here. And yet, what does he do? He gathers them together to have this meal with them. And I want you to think about the idea when we have a dinner at our house. When I was growing up, we used to always gather around the table as a family. And usually it went like this. Paul, what did you do at school today? And I knew better than to tell Mom I got in trouble, because back when I was in school, there was this parent hotline that went from teacher to principal to parent. And when you got home, you were already spanked by the teacher in the little broom closet down the hall. Don't ask me how I know this. The principal, who only had one arm, so that one arm was like a mesomorph. I mean, he could nail you through the wall. And then when you got home, your mom was waiting on you to give you another one, you know? But sitting around with the table with the family, there was discussion. Nowadays, oftentimes, sometimes we fix our plates and then we scatter to different places. Oh man, I'm going to go watch the Braves, or I've got this show that I'm watching TV, or I'm just going to eat on the run because I'm running, and we go off in directions, and that's okay. When you do that, though, you lose the intimacy of the family. There are things that happen around the table that don't happen when you're scattered in other rooms. Conversations, for example, talk. What's going on with you? Conversations, stories. Tell me about your day. This is going on in your life. Oh my goodness, we need to just stop and pray about this right now. There's a connection that happens when we sit around the table together. And Jesus knew this. And as he gathered his disciples and they gathered around the table, he begins this conversation with them, and he spends time with them, and he lets them know what's going to be happening. And the table isn't just about food. In fact, the whole meal of the Passover had specific things at specific times that had to be done in a specific way, so that they could remember. And each piece of food, each drink, everything that was part of the Seder meal was so important because it had meaning. The bitter herbs were for the tears. The shank of the lamb was because they took the blood of the lamb and put it over the doorpost. And the bread had no yeast because they had to make it quick to be able to go and take it with them. And so there are certain things that were so important. But it wasn't just about that. Sitting around the table with his disciples was about a relationship. Guys, you may not know this. I've been telling you this, but this is my last few moments with you. Pretty soon, they're going to come and arrest me. And I won't see you again for a while. But this has got to happen, and they don't know what's going on. Some of them are arguing about who's the greatest servant, who's going to sit by you, in heaven. There's different conversations that are going on, but it's about this relationship that Jesus has with his disciples. And as we celebrate communion on the first Sunday of every month, we are celebrating not just, okay, this is just something we do. We check it off the list. Okay, that first Sunday, don't forget, we got to set up for communion. It's about the relationship that we have with Jesus. That's why it is so important when I say you can take the communion here at the table, or you can take it at the altar, or you can take it back at your seat. There are some churches, you all wait till everybody's served, and then you take it together. And then you all wait till everybody's served, and then you take it together. But this is a personal moment, a relationship moment between you and God. And this is what was happening in the upper room. And that's the picture of the table. And what does the table represent? Well, it's intimacy, because he is drawing close. When you are sitting at the table, you're vulnerable. Yeah, Mom, I got to ask you a question too. Did you see what David did? Did you see what Danny did? Did you see what Margaret did? Did you see, there's this intimacy that happens. But there's also, in this table, inclusion. It said Jesus sat there and he knew he was going to be betrayed, who was going to betray him and why, and yet he was still included in the meal. He was still included in the group that was to draw near and to be intimate with. And then he gives the invitation to come and eat, and let's share this meal together. And before Jesus goes to the cross, what he does, he doesn't withdraw, he doesn't isolate, he doesn't say, guys, give me a few minutes, I just need to get my act together. He doesn't panic, he shares a meal, and he eats. And so preparing our hearts for Easter simply means remembering. Jesus didn't just die for us. Jesus desires fellowship with us. The cross was not just about sacrifice. The cross is about love pursuing a relationship with us. Jesus didn't just come to die on the cross so that your sins would be forgiven and that you could go about your life and just do whatever you want. He came and gave his life so that we could be created anew, be given a family, and be given a relationship with him and with God the Father, because that's what was missing in our lives. And so that's the picture of the table. Now I want to shift to the other picture, and that's the picture of the towel. The towel. Anyone who has raised small children know about this moment. Your child gets sick in the middle of the night, okay? And they cry, and they're miserable, and it makes you miserable, and there's mess everywhere, but you don't stand back and say, okay, clean yourself up first, and then I'll come in there and take care of you. What do? As parents, we go in, we clean up the mess. We hold our child. We give them medicine if you need them. You know, we do whatever we can. We kneel down. We clean up. We help them. Because love serves. Love stoops. Love sometimes gets down where it's dirty. And if we read the scripture, that's what Jesus does with his disciples. It says this in verses 4 and 5. It says, he rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments. He took a towel. He tied it around his waist. And he began to wash the disciples' feet. And in that culture, foot washing was very, very important. Now we think like, I'm not touching those feet. Look at those toes. Did you do your nails, girl? They don't look good, you know? But in that culture, it was necessary. They walked everywhere, you know, and it was dirty, and it was reserved for the lowest of the low in your household. The lowest servant would be the one. There would be a basin by the door, and as you came in, that servant would wash your feet as you come in. The closest thing that we do in today's culture is a lot of times when you go into someone's house, you have to take your shoes off immediately, you know, and it's kind of weird at first. And you're like, oh, I should have wore my socks that didn't have holes all in it. And what we do, if you come to our house, we ask you to take your shoes off, and then we put Swiffer things on your feet. So as you walk, it kind of cleans our floor as you go. Not really. That was a Paul thing, you know. But the idea is certainly no rabbi was going to wash your feet. Certainly no Messiah was going to get down on his hands and knees and wash your feet. But Jesus does. Jesus takes off his outer garment, wraps the towel around his waist, kneels down and begins to wash the feet of his disciples. And if you notice the movement, do you see what it says? It says he rose. It said he laid aside. It says he wrapped himself. It says he poured the water, and it says he washed. Is that familiar? Listen to this. He rose from heaven to become one of us. He rose. What did he do? He laid aside his glory, just like he laid aside his outer garment. It says he took on the towel and he put it there. He took on flesh and became one of us. He poured the water into the basin to wash their feet. He poured out his life on the cross for all of us. And then he cleansed us, not just our dirty feet, but he cleansed us from all of our sin. This little picture that sometimes we just go, oh, Jesus washed their feet. You know, way to go, Jesus. That's gross for me, but I'm glad you did that. We go past that story, but it's so important because it is a picture of the gospel. All that Jesus did for us. And the towel in this upper room points us to the cross. Not only does he want this relationship with us, but he is modeling for us that we are to be servants and how we are supposed to honor other people and love other people. But someone resists. Peter. Peter has this struggle with grace. It says this in verse 8. It says, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus, what are you doing? You're not going to wash my feet. Peter's uncomfortable. And honestly, if we were to think about it, so are we. I mean, the picture of Jesus getting down on his knees and serving us kind of bothers us a little bit, because he is our God. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is our King. Have you ever tried to give somebody a gift and they say, oh, no, you shouldn't have. And you keep saying, no, I want to do this for you. And it keeps going back and forth till it becomes awkward and uncomfortable. And you're standing there with the gift like, you know, it's one of these moments. Because when we receive something, it is much harder than if we are giving something. It's easy to give gifts, you know, because we can give gifts. But sometimes when we receive, it's kind of like, okay, you're giving this to me. What do you want? We think there's some kind of condition when they may just be wanting to give us a gift. And receiving grace for us is sometimes harder than giving. Peter struggled with that, and so do we often. We're okay with Jesus teaching us. We're okay with his words. We're okay with him leading us. But kneeling before us, serving us, that just feels wrong. Why is that? Because his grace offends our pride. When you try to give a gift to somebody and they, it's a pride thing. It's a pride thing. Because we want to earn it. What did I do to deserve what you're giving me? Did I earn that from you? What did I do to deserve it? We want to clean ourselves up first to receive God's grace. God, I am a horrible sinner, and as soon as I get my life right, as soon as I start heading in the right direction, then I'm going to come to you. That's not how Jesus does it. Jesus gets down, he washes our feet, washes our sin, and invites us into this relationship. He does the dirty work. Jesus answers Peter. This is what he says. Jesus doesn't pull any punches. Just like he told him earlier, hey, get behind me, Satan. Talking to Peter, he says this, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Before we can serve like Jesus, we have to be washed by Jesus. And preparing our hearts for Easter and for the resurrection and for the life of Christ means that we have to let Jesus cleanse what we cannot. We can't get it all right. We can't be good. We're eventually going to slip back into self-centeredness, self-righteousness, anger, bitterness, all of the things that make us us. And Jesus is the only one that can cleanse us and save us from that. So then, what is the example that he gives us? Jesus moves from the table to the towel. After washing their feet, Jesus asked them, this is verses 12 to 15, do you understand what I have done for you? I have given you an example that you should also do as I have done to you. The Christian life for us, the Christ-filled life for us, is the table and the towel. We have to have the table and the towel. Let me explain. The table is the intimacy. It's the relationship. The towel is the service. We can't have the table without the towel, because then we have comfort. We have the saving grace, but we don't have any kind of service. In other words, we don't have any work. You know, there's no fruit in my life. I just took everything you did for me, Jesus, and that's where I'm going to stop. You want me to go out and be a witness for you? No thanks. I'm not going anywhere. I'm uncomfortable with that. I'm just going to take everything. And that's the table, that intimacy, that relationship that Jesus wants with us. And we take that because we want that relationship with him, but we don't want to do anything. And that's the table without the towel. And you can't have the towel without the table. I mean, that is basically having service, doing works, doing all of these things, but not having this intimacy, this relationship with him. In the story of the sheep and the goats, Jesus says there are people that come to him and he says, depart from me. And they're going like, wait a minute, didn't we feed people? Didn't we clothe people? Didn't we do all these wonderful things? And Jesus says what? I don't know you. Because there's no intimacy, there's no relationship. You could try to be good, you could try to serve on committees, you could try to do all of these things. But if you do not have that relationship with Jesus, it's nothing. It's nothing. It has to be both. We sit with Jesus. We have this intimacy with him, and then we serve like him. We do what he modeled for us. Children learn by watching. A child doesn't learn how to be kind primarily from somebody just talking about kindness. They learn by seeing it. Maybe mom helping somebody. Maybe dad serving somebody. Maybe our parents showing us generosity or something. And Jesus knew this. And so what does he do? He doesn't just talk about humility. He doesn't just talk about humbling himself. He gets down, humbles himself, does the lowliest of jobs, and shows them that nothing is above you. Love people. Our church's mission is to love God, to have that relationship, to have that table with him, to have that intimate relationship with him. Then it is to love others. And that's where we pick up the towel. Yes, God, I'm going to do what is modeled, what you modeled for me. And then it says we are to make disciples. And how do we do that? We go out and live the mission that he's given us. We tell people. We share with people. We love on people. We listen to people. We do what Jesus did. And so, overshadowing all of this is the cross in the room. Everything in John 13 whispers that the cross is coming. Yeah, we're going to have this meal. We're going to have this time together. I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to share with you, and then I'm going to share with some last-minute instructions with you, and this is my last few hours because there's a cross coming. You know, when you get married, before you get married, you usually give this engagement ring, and sometimes now before the engagement ring, you get a promise ring, and before the promise ring, you get a phone ring saying, hey, you know, just whatever. But the idea is once you get that diamond, girls, you're not married. You're not married yet. That's just a shadow of what's to come. That's just a kind of an outside token of this covenant that's going to take place where the two become one. But right now, you just have a beautiful ring and the promise that there is something great coming down the road. And that's what is happening here. It's not the ceremony. It's not the table. It's not just the towel. And it's not just the cross. It's pointing to the cross. And the cross is not just suffering. It is the servant being the servant to the uttermost. To say, I have given everything to you. I've washed your feet, I've healed, I've fed you, I've done all these things. And now I am going to die for you and take your sins so you don't have to. The table says, I want you to be with me. That's what he's saying to us. And the towel says, you know what? I am seeking after you. I am serving you. I am stooping low for you. But the cross says, I will die for you. And if we miss the towel, if we miss the table, then we really miss the whole thing about the cross. And then when Easter comes, it just becomes another celebration. Hey, are we having an Easter egg hunt? Hey, how many eggs did you die? Did you get any of those Reese's eggs? You know, Cadbury's got them out. And we miss the whole purpose of John 13 and what Jesus did in these pictures of the table and the towel. So, what does this mean for us? Well, we have to prepare our hearts, and that's where we're talking about, preparing our hearts for the resurrection, for Easter that's coming up. When you invite guests to come over to your house, there's preparations and stuff that you do. My wife is funny. We have someone that will come and clean our house like every other week. And the day before she comes, me and Margie are cleaning the house, making it spotless. So that when she comes, I guess she could say like, oh, there's no dust, and oh, your floors don't even need to be vacuumed. Or I guess I'll just spray that spray to make it smell like it's clean in here. And we feel good about ourselves. And when we invite people over to our house, we do the same thing. We prepare the meal. We get the place settings. We try to make the, you know, the dead flowers that have been sitting on the kitchen table for like months now, we throw those out and put in new fresh ones. We prepare the table. We make space. We try to accommodate people. And Easter feels like that spiritually. We prepare our hearts to receive the beauty of God's gospel again. So as we move towards Easter, let's ask ourselves a couple questions as we prepare ourselves. Number one, are we sitting at his table? Are we in a relationship with Jesus where we are sitting at the table where he can ask us every day, well, Paul, tell me how your day was today. Talk to me. Have we slowed down enough to sit at his table to be with him? Is my relationship with Jesus, is it intimate or is it rushed? And then ask ourselves this, have I let Jesus wash me? You know, or would we be like Peter, Lord, don't wash my feet. They're dirty. Maybe there's parts in our lives. Jesus, I'm afraid for you to see that. Don't come in here because maybe there's pride in my life. Maybe there's a hidden sin in my life. Maybe there's self-reliance. But we cannot celebrate the resurrection without at first accepting being cleansed by him. And then the third question I think that we should do to, you know, what do we do about all of this is, what is your towel? Where's your towel? Where is God asking you to serve or to do what he has modeled for you? Maybe there's someone around you who needs forgiveness and God is pressing upon you to make that phone call. Or maybe someone around you needs encouragement. And again, God is pressing upon you to call that person that just kind of keeps coming to your mind and you say, well, I wonder what they're up to. Maybe there's some practical help. Somebody needs something that you can provide. Maybe there's just an act of service that you can do quietly behind the scenes where no one knows. And yet, it makes a huge difference. Preparing our hearts for Easter means that we pick up the towel. We sit at the table before we look at the cross and before we look at the empty tomb. Imagine walking into that upper room on that day, on that night, and you see bread on the table, you see wine in the cup, you see a basin on the floor, you see a towel in Jesus' hand. The creator of the universe who spoke it into existence is kneeling before you. The same hands that are washing your feet will in just a few short hours be pierced and he will be scourged. But before his hands are pierced and before he is beaten and before he is brutally murdered on the cross, these hands are washing and these hands are inviting. Father, I just thank you for the picture of the towel and the table. Father, I thank you for the opportunity for us to be your people, to gather before you and to humble ourselves, to allow you to cleanse us. Every space in our life, even the hidden passages that we maybe even try to hide from ourselves. Father, we just thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. And Father, it's in his mighty and holy name that we pray. Amen.